Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John, did you take issue with that? He said Lamar Jackson MVP frontrunner. I don't know if that's...
No, I think it's... I mean, it's a long season. We're halfway there. We give out mid-season awards. People do. And he's two-time MVP, and he's having maybe his best season.
I would say better than last year's MVP campaign. Yeah, I mean, I think he is the MVP frontrunner.
Could be.
That doesn't mean Goff can't get it done.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is... And you're watching... Here's the thing that's great is you're watching a number of... quarterbacks, because it's kind of become a quarterback award, have great seasons. Goff is, you know, signed the big contract, and everybody thought, you know, okay, yeah, he's good. He's our guy. He's going to be able to get it done. But to play at a consistently high level like he has done and manage games, and I don't know if you can actually win the MVP by being a game manager, but he has done an unbelievable job of taking ego out of it and just, okay, hey, Monra, it may be a four-yard pass, but that's the where to go. And he has just won.
We'll get these moving phone calls in. Tom, you had a question for Michigan fans. We can throw that out there as well. They got Indiana this week. What did you want to know?
I am curious if people are tuning in tomorrow quite as much as they normally do, where you're locking in, you're a big Michigan fan, and you're sitting down, you're going to watch this game.
Well, I'm hoping that they're busy and they decided they wanted to listen to it on the radio.
Well, true.
Tune in that way.
Well, part of the 10-hour Jansen cast?
Yes.
For people who missed it, he's filling in pregame plus in-game plus postgame. Yeah. You can get your fill of John Jansen tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like last week people were still like, okay, we figured out the quarterback. We beat Michigan State. We looked okay. Maybe we could compete with Oregon. And then it just slowly, like, you lost, and it just hits you in the face. That's sort of how I feel. Now, I'll still watch, you know. But I do wonder if there's some people out there who kind of like, yeah, I'll go out to dinner in the second half. Or, you know, I have an opportunity to do something. I'm going to go do that instead. I wonder if people are kind of backing off a little bit.
Maybe they'll watch Georgia Ole Miss instead. Same window. I don't know. I mean... As a Michigan fan, this year has taken a lot out of you.
Oh, it has. It's been exhausting and it's been disappointing. And so if that's the reason you're watching, you just only want to watch wins, then yeah, I think some of those people won't. But I do think there's a lot of people that still want to watch their school.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's just the only reason I had this idea is just or thought is I think they're such a tough watch.
They are.
There's really not much to grab onto. You know, their three best players are going pro. I mean, it's kind
of
like
one of them hasn't been playing, right? So to take some of that out,
it's like what's the future?
Well, and we've talked identity, the lack there of identity. It's not like they're the dominant ground and pound team that they were the last few years. The quarterback play we've discussed ad nauseum, and then on defense, the calling card that hasn't been the calling card this season. They're getting picked apart by every passer, and Indiana's coming in and. Listen, what they just did to MSU is what they've done to everybody. That was 47 unanswered points. They will not call the dogs off. They will rub your nose in it. They will make this a tough watch for you.
Yeah, I do. I think if they have the opportunity to embarrass Michigan, that they're going to do it. And I watched the game in Indiana a couple weeks ago, parts of it. Wow. You know, the joint, they're excited. The joint sold out. It's sold out. It's a different environment. I do wonder if they beat Michigan, if they will storm the field.
At this point,
they're unranked. Michigan's unranked, I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know, but I do wonder if they'll do that.
And we gave the stat earlier. They've only beaten Michigan three times the last 60 years. One was the COVID year.
Yeah.
The last one in a traditional season was 1987. So I understand the excitement of beating the Block M if you're Indiana and you've been getting your teeth kicked in.
This is Indiana's chance to take it to Michigan for all those years.
Yeah, you can't quite make up for 57 of the last 60 years, but right.
And you're going to be there.
Yeah.
John's going to be there.
I'll be it for a full day of it.
All day.
But it's also, I mean, people know that have listened to me, whether it's on the Michigan broadcast or here, when somebody gets hurt, or if you're not having the season, if Will Johnson's not there, then it's Jahir Hill, Amir Hall. It's an opportunity. I always see every single game as an opportunity. And so Michigan has an opportunity. On the flip side, Indiana has played Michigan tough over the last decade. Like, they've only won that one time in the COVID year, but they've taken them to overtime. It's been a battle. Michigan's come out on top, and I would understand the excitement if they did rush the field, but they're the team that's a top 10 team, and Michigan has the opportunity to give them those same fits. I don't know if they will or not, but that's the mentality they have to have going in.
I want to see if we can do all of this. I want to see if we can go rapid fire on the calls, because this hour, it moves quick. Brian Baldinger, 8:18, talking NFL. Friday picks at 8:35. We have to talk Lions, and we will at the end of this hour. So let's knock out as many phone calls as we can, and we'll start with Brandon in Toledo. Mm-hmm. Brandon, you're on 97.1.
Hey, my point of view in watching the game tomorrow is I expect Cignetti to kind of blow him out. Unfortunately, I'm a fan, but he's been doing it to everybody when he can. I'd actually like to see some of the freshmen play, and my thought process is kind of, you know, Sherrone Moore's job could be kind of lining the balance in a game like tomorrow if you can keep it close or if you get destroyed. And part of me thinks that if that does happen, the guy at Indiana could be a guy that Michigan calls.
I don't think they're firing Sherrone. I mean, no. I don't. Now, is Cignetti a hell of a coach? Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I understand. I just think with that, with everything performance based on how the seasons went, and the possibility of what happens with the notice of allegations, it wouldn't surprise me if they just wrapped it in a bow and called it, especially if it's worse than expected with the performance. I don't think so either, but with that still kind of hanging there.
Yeah, and Brandon, I get where you're coming from. Like, we did overreactions on Monday, and one of mine was both Michigan and Michigan State missed out on Kirk Cignetti because he's done such a great job at a place that never wins even a little. It's the best season in their program's history. He immediately brought in veteran players from the portal, guys who were all conference players, juniors and seniors, some of which he had coached at James Madison, and his coaching turnaround is the best in the sport. He should be the coach of the year.
Let me ask you, I think Michigan hasn't been this ripe to look bad since Brady Hoke's last.
Oh, well then, yeah. I'm getting traditional college football feelings
of the Devin Gardner game in East Lansing.
Well, and you talk about being ripe for looking bad because of brand awareness. If it happens against Texas, all right, it's Texas. If it happens against Oregon, all right, it's Oregon. Now, I mean, what are your thoughts on Washington and Illinois?
And those are bad losses.
Yeah.
And this would be, Indiana's better than those teams, but from a brand standpoint, I understand your point. Matt and Hazel Park, let's get you in the mix on this. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up? Two things. For the Michigan game, I chose to work overtime tomorrow because every time I watch Michigan, my blood pressure rises. And then for moving, I do everything myself now because a couple years ago I was moving. And it was an accident. They didn't secure my TV correctly, and they totally destroyed my TV, and it put me in, like, a murderous mind state, but I let it go because they covered the cost. But
I was going to ask, like, what's the recourse there? Because I've never hired movers. I'd want to the next time. They did pay for it?
Yeah, I had to file a claim with the company, and they paid for it. So now I do everything myself because I can't trust anyone.
Did you get a new, better TV out of it?
Yeah. Got an 85-inch 4K smart TV.
Hell yeah.
Sounds like it worked out.
It's a good thing they broke it.
Yeah.
You didn't feel that way in the moment, but
No.
Definitely not.
And with Michigan, you said you're working overtime tomorrow.
Yeah, I chose to work tomorrow because they were like, hey, you want to work and make some money? I was like, yeah, because if I watch a Michigan game, I'm just going to be teed off because I don't think they're going to win. So I was like, yeah, I'll just make some money instead. That way I can avoid the headache.
Any chance you're going to tune in on the radio?
Yeah, I'll listen to the radio. Okay. Yes, and I'll listen to you, man. Don't worry.
All right, I appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for hanging tight.
I love it. You're fighting for every listener. Person to person.
Yeah. Come on in.
I know
we'll
the product's a tough listen, but I got you, buddy.
Oh, no. The product might be, but the delivery is not a tough listen.
Texter says, yes, I will be listening. This one says, there's not a sense of urgency to watch, but I'll throw in an AirPod and listen to the voices of Michigan football. Scott and Tecumseh.
Looking forward to some Karsh.
Bunch of brown nosers. This one says, John, I'll be listening from my tree stand. Go blue.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And this one says, I love Michigan football. I love football. I'll be watching the entire game as usual.
Hmm.
Danny and Warren, what about you? You're on 97.1.
Good morning, Go Blue. Well, it'll be background music for me. Lifelong Wolverine. Silly as it sounds, I feel like I'm part of the family. My daughter was in the marching band for 4 years, and I'm so disappointed and somewhat disgusted at how the years went. I'll be listening to it, John, while I'm raking leaves. If it gets good, I'll watch it, but I'm at a loss for words of how disappointed I am, really.
And the game probably, when you do watch, has probably made you angry at times, right? Like last week, when they can't line up properly on the punt play, or they don't have enough guys on the field, and then too many guys on the field, like, it probably gets you all worked up. I could imagine it's not worth watching.
It's not. I understand the cloud over Michigan and Harbaugh leaving. I expected a letdown, and I liked the hire of Moore. I thought they handled it much better than they've had in the past. But, wow. I mean, it's – I don't know. Anyway, Indiana fans are one of the best. I used to travel and watch. So, John, good luck getting out of there. If it's sold out, that's like the worst place to leave. But hey,
I'm going to be on a team bus, and I'll just let everybody else handle it at that point.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks.
Go Blue.
Yeah.
Thanks Danny. Right. Go Blue, whatever, is probably the official slogan of this season, right?
I do know this. Yeah, it could be tough getting out of Bloomington, but it's no State College. Penn State is by far the worst to get out of.
Yeah, I think would be a fun thing to do when we're not in the thick of this football season is like having you power rank different parts of going to Big Ten stadiums.
Oh, I love all the Big Ten stadiums. I could rank those in a heartbeat.
But you were talking food earlier. We could talk architecture, in and out, access, the logistics. We could do a full, maybe not when we're knee deep in football season, but we could really
we'll put that on the to-do list.
Yeah, perfect. All right, we got Brian Baldinger coming up next. We got the picks at 8:35. And at 8:50, I didn't realize this is a possibility, but Za'Darius Smith might not play. What? It's 97.1.
Every Friday night, since today is Friday, you get a chance. FanDuel is giving all customers a bigger payout on select NBA first bets. First bets lets you get in on the action from the opening tip. You can bet things like who's going to score the first basket, which team is going to go get first to 15, who's going to have the first dunk, all of those different things. And best of all, you don't have to wait for the whole game to see if you won. Just look at the Friday first in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. Visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to claim your Friday first profit boost and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to get to Lions and Texans, but let's start with last night. Great game, Thursday Night Football. Brian Baldinger joins us. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Jim. John, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Let's start with the two-point decision. On Monday night, the Bucs didn't do it. Last night, the Bengals did. What did you make of the call?
They went for the win, and they needed the win to kind of stay on pace with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and they didn't get it. I'm not a big fan of that because if you don't make it, it's over. If you go and just play for overtime, kick the extra point, you can still win the toss and have a chance to go win it. That's what happened in the first game. They won the toss. They took it. They didn't get the field goal. They ended up missing a field goal. And then if you do, if you don't get the toss, you can still stop them, at least hold them to a field goal, and still have a chance to either tie it or win it. So I think you have more chances if you just kick the extra point.
When you look at last night's game, obviously Lamar Jackson having a great career, maybe his best, and he's already a two-time MVP. When you think about Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jared Goff, how does, in the midway point of the season, how does the MVP race look to you?
With those four right there. With those four, John. I mean, Goff can't – I don't know how much better he can play if you're completing, you know, 75% of your passes and – you know, the interceptions are way down. I mean, you know, Lamar's up there to 24 touchdown passes right now. He leads the league. It's hard to go against him, although, you know, Detroit's got a better record. You know, maybe they meet in the Super Bowl, who knows, but it's those four. In fact, you know, you probably go Goff, Lamar, Josh right now, and if you want to throw in Derrick Henry or Saquon, just because of how many first downs, how many touchdowns they scored. Mm-hmm. They're probably in the conversation.
Was that in order? Are you saying Goff is your front runner today?
Well, I mean, he's got the best record right now in the NFC, and he's completed the highest percentage of passes. It's hard not to put Goff one or two right now. Lamar certainly is right there, and Josh Allen's behind him. I'd say it's a coin flip between Lamar and Jared Goff right now.
When you look at this game against Houston, and we don't know if they're going to get Nico Collins back. It looks like Will Anderson might not play. And then for the Lions, we found out yesterday, we're not sure if Za'Darius Smith is going to be able to play this week because he was supposed to be on a bye week. It depends on whether they decide to play him or not. What makes the difference in this game?
Well, I think it's Detroit's offense. I mean, that's a consistent thing right now, John. And honestly, when I watch this Texans defense, they haven't been good on the back end of their defense. I mean, they've given up 19 touchdown passes this year. That's tied for worst in the league. And when you ask yourself why, the last time we saw him play was against the Jets. They gave up 3 second-half touchdown passes to lose that game. The pass rush isn't there. I mean, Will Anderson got hurt in that game against the Jets. But if you put Will Anderson healthy, along with Danielle Hunter and with Danico Autry now off suspension, I mean, they got 3 guys that can really affect the quarterback. And it will help the back end of their defense. And then on the other side, offensively, I mean, to lose Nico Collins, he was by far, you know, he's their Amon-Ra St. Brown, but he's also their big play guy, too. And, you know, whether it was red zone or third downs, that's where the ball went. And to lose him and to lose Diggs both for this stretch of time, and then to combine that with an offense line that commits a lot of penalties and they give up a lot of pressures. Gave up 8 sacks to the Jets on Thursday night. A week ago, it's just not a very dynamic football team right now.
C.J. Stroud, is his struggles, sophomore slump, easily explained by just not having Nico Collins? Or what are you seeing with him at quarterback this year?
Well, they're constantly in long yard situations. Their offense, I mean, Laremy Tunsil is the most penalized offensive lineman in the league right now. He's a great player, but he commits a lot of penalties, as does the rest of them. Holding calls, pre-snap penalties. They're constantly in situations where if they're not ahead of the chains, and then if you lose Nico for the stretch that they have, you lose Mixon for three or four games earlier this year, and then you lose Diggs, there's just not the same firepower around CJ that there was a year ago. And so I think that's contributed a great deal to, you know, maybe a little bit of the decline that we've seen from CJ.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Brian Baldinger, we appreciate these Friday check-ins.
Okay, guys. Have a good weekend.
You
Take
too.
Care.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, starting next year, you guys, Detroiters will be able to pay their taxes and other city fees using cryptocurrency.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Detroit is set to become the largest U.S. city to do this. And the city says that the transactions will happen through a secure platform, all managed by PayPal. And they say, the city says at least, that this change is part of a larger strategy to, quote, explore innovative technologies that could enhance public services, strengthen civic engagement, and foster economic growth. Now, the exact date of when this would go into effect was not given, but they did say mid-2025.
Huh. Have either of you guys dipped your toe into the crypto world?
It is still over my head, kind of. I haven't really tried to understand it.
Yeah.
I've had Colin kind of talk to me about it, but I don't really listen.
Yeah.
So this goes both ways. Yesterday we talked about, you know, guys only half hearing
right.
with their wives.
Yeah.
You're just tuning Colin
it's
out.
It's selective. Yeah, it is. I was selecting not to learn about crypto at that moment, but yes.
She asked Colin, but he's too busy following the Lions.
That's right.
Yeah. An investigation is underway in northern Michigan after employees at a thrift store found pipe bombs in a box that had been donated. Police were called to the New Beginnings thrift shop. This is in Harbor Springs on Wednesday afternoon when a worker had picked up a donated box, like a cardboard box, was looking through it. There was tools inside of it, other things, kind of just looking around when they found items that they believed were pipe bombs. So they called the police. The bomb squad came in. The canine team was called. The box went through, you know, an x-ray. And it did find that one of these pipe bombs contained a fuse and powder. So it was taken out of the store. They swept the store. No other explosives were found. Everyone's okay. But still kind of a mystery. Police haven't said anyway if they know who this box belonged to or where it came from. Maybe they do. But I think everything is still kind of under investigation.
Of course. Hmm.
But it does make you want to know, right?
Oh, like, sure.
Well, who dropped this box off?
Who's been making these?
Yeah.
Was it accidentally included?
Right. Well, who knows? Yeah, like, those are all the things you don't know. Yeah, you want to know all that.
Doesn't seem like a great hobby for someone.
No.
No. There's been a big break in the Liam Payne's death investigation. Authorities in Argentina have now charged three people that they believed were involved in his death. So one suspect charged is described as a friend who was apparently in Payne's hotel room with him, but left there at some point before he died. So he's been charged with abandonment of a person before death. And then the second suspect is a hotel employee, a housekeeper who police believe probably delivered the drugs in a soap box. And then the third person is the drug supplier. And prosecutors say this supplier delivered narcotics to Payne twice on October 14th, which was 2 days before his death. Just sad details.
I guess, what is your legal obligation? Like, the person who abandoned him, I don't know.
I've never heard of
that. I've never heard of that. And then secondarily, like, I mean, they didn't, I'm not going to say they should be let off the hook, but they didn't force him to take the drugs, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just a really dark situation
really
all
is.
Around.
Ray Gunn. You guys remember her, right?
Oh, the breakdancer.
Yeah, the Australian breakdancer. She went viral after her performance at the Paris Olympics. Well, she's now retiring. She is done. She has called it a day. Rachel Gunn shared the news of her retirement on this Australian radio show last week. But it is kind of sad because it's basically from all the criticism and backlash she received from her performance. And she said, you know, the thought of doing another competition and having images and video posted all over the internet has kind of led her to retire. I mean, it is sad that our criticism of something that she enjoyed doing, right? Whether or not she was very good at it, that's up. Well, clearly at the Olympics, she scored no points.
I was going to say, it's not
up for debate. I guess there the judges said
she was judged.
She was. But it's sad that our, you know, there's so many memes now of her floating around that because we have criticized her so much, she is leaving something she enjoyed doing. So anyway, she's done and we won't see it again because it's not going to be part of the 2028 Olympics in LA either. Breakdancing.
Replaced by football.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, flag football.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
One of them.
You guys, if you head to Minnesota, you got to look out. They have some new beaver laws that you're going to want to be aware of. Yes. It's now illegal to eat beaver in Minnesota.
It's illegal? They made a law that you can't eat beaver.
Yes. There is this Minnesota statute which details basically the who, what, when, and why of nuisance beaver removal. Okay,
so it's only nuisance beaver, right?
Well, kind of.
If you legally trap them, you can still eat beaver. Them.
This does say nuisance beaver, the beaver you don't want around.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, why would you be eating nuisance beaver anyway?
Anyway, the amendment to the statute basically says, there's a sentence that says, human consumption of a retained beaver is prohibited. Can't
so
do
you
it.
Just can't retain
but the
them.
Thing is that it's like a mystery. Nobody knows who came up with this new rule, how it was like amended. Right. So you can still trap
beaver,
but you just can't eat the meat.
I'm actually impressed at how well you've been for all of this.
Well, I'm trying to be a grown up.
I'm surprised.
Okay.
That's Heather with the news.
Okay.
It slipped. I didn't mean to do that. It's 97.1. All right, we talk about all these great games. We'll get picks here in a second. Dive into the best pool in history. It's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels. He's still laughing. You always have a perfect view of that massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. It's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football, with the swim-up bars, the Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop football party. Score your perfect game day spot. They've got cozy day beds, private cabanas. Either way, grab a lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. It's 365 days of sports. How else? Poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com. What do you make of it?
Ultimately, it's going to be an organizational decision because he was supposed to be on his bye week. They've given him basically the entire week off. I do believe as soon as the trade was consummated that they sent the PDF file and said, okay, here's our defensive playbook. Here's the calls. They probably gave him the abbreviated cheat sheet of these are the ones that are most important to you. Master these. When you come in, we'll go over them. If you have any questions, give us a call, shoot us a text, and we'll go over everything. You're going to be just fine. He's a vet. He's a pro. He's always been a guy that is known as he's taking care of business. And he's going to come in, and I showed you this earlier. I'll show you it again. They're basically, the defensive playbook can be simple. All right, on page one, there's a picture of a football. And the next page, it just says, go get it. All right, and as an edge rusher, that's coming in this situation, that's what you're asking him to do, is just go get it. Go get the ball. Go get C.J. Stroud. Yeah, there is some intricacies. We talk about rush plans and different things that are going on, and he needs to know where blitzes are coming from. He's obviously going to have to see Houston film to pick up tendencies. But again, there's going to be a cheat sheet for him. He'll do his business. I 100% think he's playing on Sunday.
Yeah, because to me, I looked at it and thought, hey, we're going to get you some one-on-ones, even if you're only playing, I don't know, 40% of the snaps, you can help us this week. We got practice squad guys if it's not you. You'd think, yeah, give them some one-on-ones, hit them with your best move, see if you can get to the quarterback. Not to oversimplify it. Clearly, they'll have twists and stunts. You do have to know gap responsibility in the run game,
sure,
alignment in certain down and distance and personnel groupings. But the idea that he wouldn't play, I hadn't even considered that.
Well, I hadn't either. And, you know, I know you went through the play charts. And he's right around 50, 55, maybe even up to 70% of the
depending
plays
on the game and the script. Yep.
I would expect him to be, you know, nearer 40, 45, not going to be out there as much as he will be in the future. But he's a guy that he's going to understand down and distance. He's going to understand all of those. You don't get to be a 8, 9, 10-year vet without doing your due diligence before you go into a game. On the flip side as well, this is a showcase game. It's Sunday night football. The entire country will be watching. One of the greatest storylines has been you lost touch, you go 3-0. But you don't put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Now you're playing against C.J. Stroud. He's a mobile quarterback. You go on the trade deadline. Do something that Brad Holmes hasn't done. You added at the trade deadline. Who'd you add? The best available pass rusher. He's going to want to show off. The Lions are going to want to show him off. Both sides are going to want to have him on the field.
And the Texans, by the way, are not doing a good job protecting C.J. Stroud. Gave up 8 sacks in their Thursday night game against the Jets, the last game they played. And you go, okay, that's just one bad day. If you take the last 3 and add them up, they've given up 13 sacks over the last 3 games. This is what the Lions have been waiting for, a chance to get home, and Za'Darius Smith is going to be a guy off the edge that can do it.
Yeah, and what he adds to the defense, we'll see more as he becomes more familiar with Aaron Glenn, and as the coaches become more familiar with what he's good at, what he likes, what he's not good at. You're not going to call some of those things.
Again, we don't think the Lions are losing this week. They have this invincibility to them where nothing has seemed to faze them. Like I said it in the picks. Houston's got extra time to prepare. They're coming home. They're coming off a loss, bounce back against the Lions, who there's got to be a letdown at some point, right? Right. But Dan Campbell has them so focused that they have been ready for every challenge. And each week has presented something different for the Lions. Dallas, it was, hey, I know you want to pummel them, but you got to make sure you actually go out and stay composed and do it. Minnesota, no Hutchinson. How do you respond? They did. Tennessee, this is a classic one-win football team where, hey, you don't take them seriously, bad things happen. They put up 50 points. And then last week was the elements. Nothing has stopped this Lions football team. And I do think there's a lot of football reasons why they'll win this week. And some of it is I do think they'll get to C.J. Stroud like everybody has. I do think they'll run on Houston like everybody has. And Brian Baldinger told us, you're going to have some downfield throws. J-Mo's back. This really feels like another spot where the Lions, more than a field goal favorites, doesn't matter that it's on the road, they should win this football game. But it does reach us to this conclusion. John, you said 14-3, and I was much more optimistic at 15-2. But we both have them losing at least one more football game this season. When is it? 248-539-9797. We want you guys to answer that question as well. Relish in a little negativity here. When do they actually lose a football game?
Here's one of the things. Here's why it's kind of hard to pick that one, is because whenever it happens, it's going to feel a little bit unexpected.
Yeah, they're going to be favored every single week. Yeah.
And this has been an absolute machine. They put up 47. The worst loss that Jerry Jones has ever known as owner against the Dallas Cowboys. They find a way to win in Minnesota. And whenever there's been the machine that is just rolling down the tracks, when something has gone wrong with the machine, the rest of the machine just works a little bit harder. And, it's no Hutch. It's no J-Mo. It's injuries to different positions. And then they just keep rolling along. Texans will be no different. I think the losses come nearer the end of the season. And I'll chalk up one, kind of a cheap one. They've got the number one seed already locked up.
Okay.
And so they play the starters for a week or for a drive, maybe two.
A quarter.
Just to keep that well-oiled machine tuned up.
Because you already have, you don't want to have two buys.
Right.
You've got to stay in rhythm.
You got the number one seed locked up. So I'll say Vikings. And then I'll just, because I've got to pick one, I said 14-3 at the beginning of the year, I'm going to go at Chicago. I think it's after the Bills game, which could be an emotional win, and it's a division opponent. The Bears are in a position where they may even actually have a new head man by that point, that they're going to, hey, no holds barred, this is our only chance to get a quality win, and let's go out there and play our best game possible. And so, I'm grasping at straws for a loss, but I do believe it will happen at some point. So I'm going to go with the division opponents.
Yeah, I mean, the any given Sunday, they could lose to anybody, but it feels like they're not going to lose to Jacksonville or the Colts, right? They're not going to lose.
Bears at home.
Right. There's certain games that you would be really shocked. The Bills are my answer. Okay. Maybe the easy answer. But even that game, John, they'll be favored.
Opponent.
They'll be favored. And I think maybe the difference there is Josh Allen is not turning the ball over like he used to. right? Jordan Love had all day to throw against the Lions, but he just couldn't help himself. He just has to do dumb stuff. Josh Allen has matured this season. And even if the Lions get some pressure, and I think the pressure will be better with Za'Darius, Josh Allen's a guy that can break free from pressure, evade pressure better than most quarterbacks in football. If I had to pick a loss, I suppose that's the one I'd give him. But you guys could answer that as well. 248-539-9797. Busy 9 o'clock hour coming up. Cookie Jar, Mike Valeni, and more. It's 97.1.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.